Amen, amen. How are you doing today, everybody? Good? Let me know you're here this morning. Everybody awake? You alive? Awesome, awesome. So good to see everyone here today. Again, if we've not met yet, my name is Kyle. I'm the lead pastor here, man. We've been praying for you this week that God will move in such a special and powerful way in your life. Hey, I want to celebrate just real quick before we dive into today's message. You know, we just had the Strawberry Festival, right? Everybody, that wasn't that long ago, last weekend.
Yeah.
Right? And we just finished that up. And if you don't know, we have a shortcake booth, the best shortcake at the festival, and so we just finished. So I just wanted to celebrate, man. We finished. We had an incredible year. Just so much went into this process, and I just wanted to just take a few minutes and just celebrate a few people that were involved, because we can't just do this and just throw together some strawberries and it just happens all on its own. This is a month-long process. This is a lot of different plates are spinning throughout this. So if you were a stemmer, you stemmed at any point, can you just kind of wave at everybody real quick? Yeah, a lot of people. Man, you guys are the backbone of the whole thing. If we don't stem berries and process, we got nothing, right? And so all of you that were faithful every day, I know some took time off of work. Some came early before work to help and stem. And a big, big shout out to Don Collins. Don, where are you at? You, sir, we couldn't do this without you. Just real talk. I know somebody else could step in, but you were there early and you stayed late and helped make sure that that processing goes smooth and goes well so that we have all those nice berries at the festival to make everything happen. So we can't thank you enough, Don, for all that you did this year and you do every year, and we greatly appreciate that. Millie and Irma helped get food together for our volunteers. Yes. There were some others that just stood out. The Edge family. You guys were involved in helping clean out the Berry building. And then the boys were there stemming and helped out a lot in the booth. Yeah, come on. Just amazing. So many people. If you help serve in the booth, thank you. Thank you. We can't do it. We can't serve shortcake if there's nobody there to serve it, put it together. Thank you. And then certainly last but not least, Ryan, this is your first year overseeing all of it. Yeah. And just did an incredible job. I know it's a lot of work. There's a lot of stuff you don't see. There's months of ordering and planning it. This started a year ago. I know he had a vision and kind of saw what it could be. And it's so cool to get to see that picture come to life and him just decorating everything. Mark Jesse, I don't want to forget you. You made some of the signs. Yeah, did a great job. Thank you. Paul and Teresa, you helped set up stuff too. Thank you there at the booth. Thank you guys. But yeah, this started a year ago, and just seeing that vision come out and then just having an incredible year. And Ryan, you did an amazing job. Thank you for your tireless hours. People were at home relaxing, doing dinner, and you were there at the booth making sure things. So I appreciate your excellence that you put into things and your hard work and your dedication. It does not go unnoticed. First place. Yeah, we got first place ribbon this year. Yeah. We finished around 20% ahead of last year, somewhere around there. So it was just a great year. And we do that all so that we, not so that we can just have a bunch of money that's just stored up. Like, we do that for ministry, right? We do that. This is for kingdom business. We're able to take that and pour it into several different things, several different areas, and it is a blessing. So thank you all, everybody that was a part of that. Hey, how many of you've ever been stuck in the waiting room? Yeah, right? You're in the waiting room, maybe at the doctor's office, the dentist, the DMV. No one likes the DMV. Maybe you've been at an appointment for something, a job interview, you know, wherever it might be, and you're in the waiting room, right? And it can feel sometimes like forever sitting in that waiting room. The eye doctor, they tell you there to get there on time, and you show up early, and they never get you in when you're supposed to get in. But heaven forbid you be late, they'll cancel your appointment. How are they going to do that? Nobody likes the waiting room. What do we do in the waiting room? I'm waiting. I've been here before them. How are they going to get back? My appointment was at 10 o'clock. It's 10:15. Get mad. Antsy. Man, I'm just going to leave. Frustrated. Maybe you're waiting on something important, right? It's like, man, you're anxious now. Like, what are they going to say? Got me out here waiting. I'm ready to get the report. Like, I got things to do. Got me on the edge of my seat. Like, I'm about to bounce out of here. I'm going to be here no more. You ever find yourself in the waiting room in life? You ever find yourself that way, maybe in your walk with God, where you feel like, man, I've been waiting. I've been praying. God, I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm waiting. Maybe you found yourself waiting on that breakthrough. Waiting on some answers. Waiting for a new season. God, I've been in this season forever. I've been walking around in this wilderness. You're waiting. God, I need you. Right? I'm praying. I'm on the edge of my seat, God. What do we do in those waiting rooms in life and waiting on God? And we know His promises. You know His word. You've seen Him answer other people's prayers. God, what do we do in those moments where we find ourselves in the waiting room? It's no different than when we're at the doctor or waiting on some appointment. We get frustrated. Get anxious, get upset, maybe even angry. I've been here too long. God, when's it my turn? God, I'm waiting on this. I'm waiting on this answer. God, I'm waiting on this. God, I know you have a purpose for my life. God, I know there's promises, there's things, there's dreams, there's things you've given me. God, I'm waiting on a healing, Lord. I'm waiting on this breakthrough to come through, Lord. I'm waiting on this relationship to be restored and to be resolved. Hey, come on, single folk, you're waiting for that one. Have you seen her? Tell me, have you seen her? Come on, you're waiting on the one. So I gotta throw y'all all around. I gotta get you on your all ready to cry one minute and laugh in the next. You're waiting on that job. Maybe you're trying to figure out, should I stay in this job? Because I'm tired of waiting in this job. That next job, that next season, that promotion, man, I've been busting it hard. And sometimes what happens in the waiting room, what happens in our waiting seasons of life, sometimes that leaves us to wanting. Wanting that next thing, wanting that blessing, wanting that answer, wanting. But if we're not careful, what we do in the waiting room, if we're not careful, what that can do is that can lead us to wanting, which leads us to wondering, God, what's going on? And if we're not careful, that can lead us to wandering away from God. What are you doing in the waiting room? What are you doing while you're waiting on those answers? What are you doing while you are praying, while you are seeking God? What are you doing when you're on the edge of your seat and you're looking for God and it's like, God, I need that breakthrough. God, I need this answer. God, I need that healing. Lord, my marriage needs to be restored. God, I don't know what else to do. What are you doing? What are you doing in the waiting room? Because if you're not careful, that waiting can lead you to wandering away from God altogether. Well, I'm tired. I'm gone. I'm out. Right? So what you do in that waiting room is so, so important. So let's talk about that today. Because here's what happens. Oftentimes we get impatient, we're wondering, we're wandering, we're all those things. And we end up, we'll try to create something on our own instead of waiting and trusting God. But we're very impatient people, aren't we? Guess what? Nothing's changed throughout the history of mankind. Maybe we've gotten a little more impatient in our generation today. So we end up trying to create something on our own because we're tired of waiting. When's this? When's God, where are you at? And so we end up not waiting on God, not trusting God, doing something on our own and creating a mess. Let waiting lead you to wanting God more. Not the answer, not the breakthrough. Now, even though I get it, you want those things. I want those things too. But may we want God more. May we want God more in the waiting. Turn, if you have a Bible this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel chapter, you got to go old school. You got to go Old Testament now. Got to flip back a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 24. As you're turning there, Saul, King Saul, he's still king, but he's on the way out. He's on the way out. He's out. David, King David, or he's not king yet, but he's been anointed king. And we find David on the run from King Saul because King Saul's jealousy and his rage, his anger has led him to pursuing to kill David. And David's on the run. And we find David hiding out in a cave. So again, David's been anointed king. All right, he's going to be the next one. It's just not time yet. He's fought Goliath. He's proven himself. He's got great fame. And King Saul has slipped further and further and further away from God. On one occasion, Saul didn't listen to the prophet Samuel's instructions to wait for him. He was going up the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and couldn't wait for Samuel to show up, so he built an altar and burned a sacrifice himself. He couldn't wait. He was impatient. He was disobedient. Another time in 1 Samuel 15, God told Saul to fight the Amalekites and destroy everything. Saul saved the king of the Amalekites. He saved the best animals and even made a monument to celebrate what he had done. He thought he had a great victory, but that's not what God told him to do. So God tells Samuel that he regrets making Saul the king. God's presence leaves Saul. He's tormented by evil spirits. He even brings David in to play the harp to soothe those evil spirits. Then David defeats Goliath, and then Saul's jealousy just continues to grow and grow and grow towards David. So now I've caught you up a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 1. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all of Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. He came to the sheep pen along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. He had to go to the bathroom. Yeah. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience stricken, for even having cut off a corner of his robe, he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Let's go ahead and read up a little bit. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, "My lord the king." When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, "Why do you listen when men say David is bent on harming you? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, 'I will not lay my hand on my lord, because he is the Lord's anointed.' See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut it off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. See, there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me. But my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, may this morning, may you help us in the waiting room. God, when we're on the edge of our seat, Lord, when we're waiting, God, when we're trying to trust you, Lord, we're trying to hold on to faith, God, we're trying to hold on to you, we're trying to hold on to your promises and hold on to your word, God, help us to not be so impatient. God, may you work that discipline in us to not be impatient, to be patient, to know your word says, "Those that wait on you shall rise up on wings like eagles." Lord, in our youth, God, we won't grow weary, God. We will run and not grow faint, Father. Lord, help us to hold on to that. Lord, there's something special, Lord, about the waiting room. We often loathe the waiting room, God. We often can't stand the waiting room because we can't stand waiting. But God, help us to be a patient people, to trust you more, God. May there be faith rise up today in this place. Teach us to be patient. Teach us to trust you more. Teach us, God, to just want you more than anything else. More than the blessing, more than the answer, more than the breakthrough, God. May we just want you. Your presence is enough. It is more than enough, God. Teach us that today. Show us, God. Show us through your word, by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Saul's downfall was his inability to trust God. How many times did he take things into his own hands? How many times did he pursue his own desires more than the desires of God? He was impatient. He was disobedient. He listened to the voice of the crowd rather than listening to the voice of God. He gave in to fear. In those times of waiting, learn to trust God.
Amen.
Learn to trust Him no matter what. Learn to trust Him even in the waiting. Even in those times of waiting on God. Don't be like Saul. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't take matters into your own hands. In our waiting, trust that God is working.
Amen.
Trust that there's something He's doing. And there's something He's doing in you. There's something He's wanting to produce in you and through you. You don't even know the bigger picture of everything. You don't know what He's working out. Why? Because we're so focused. Our tunnel vision is so focused in, I'm tired of waiting. Our focus ends up being, I'm impatient. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm angry. Instead of just, man, God, you're good. And I know you're good. And I have no reason to not believe you are working right now. Let's quit being impatient. I'm not trying to down, because I get there's some things that are difficult. And you're ready for a new season. You're ready for the light at the end of the tunnel. You're ready for that. I get that. And I don't want to diminish any pain or any struggle that you're going through, but trust God. Trust even in your pain, even in your struggle, even in the waiting. Trust God. Don't give up. Don't step out on your own because you might be impatient. You're waiting on God and it hasn't happened yet. That got Saul in trouble. How do you go from being the guy, from being the king? You're the anointed king, to not even having God's presence anymore. That doesn't just happen like that. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade. It's one decision to take matters into my own hand that leads to another. It's the wanting that leads to wondering that leads to wandering. That's what happened to Saul. Don't find yourself. Do something. Treat that waiting room as something different. Treat that waiting room as something special, not something to ignore, not something to get out of. There's something special about waiting and trusting on God. Don't let waiting on God lead you to wandering. Let waiting lead you to wanting more of God, wanting His voice more, wanting His presence more. Sometimes we look past God to whatever it is that we are waiting for. Whatever we are waiting on. Sometimes the end result actually becomes greater than God Himself. Sometimes we want the blessing more than the blesser. Sometimes we want the gift more than the giver. Sometimes we want breakthrough more than the way maker. Learn to value the waiting room, to seek His presence more. Learn to pray more in the waiting room. Learn to have a deeper faith in God. Learn to, this is the place where you really get to know God. The waiting room, look, if we do it differently, this is special, right? It's easy to have faith when everything is good. It's easy to have faith when everything's working. Woo, man, yeah, I got that parking spot today. Come on, God. I will praise Him. Everything's working out. It's easy to praise God. It's easy to see Him. But what about when you're waiting and things aren't working the way you want it to? What if the waiting room is a place of expectation? What if the waiting room builds your expectation to say, man, I know it's coming. I know God's going to do it. He's done it before. He'll do it again. I know my God can. I know what He says in His word. I know what His promises are. Man, I cannot wait. Come on, God. I'm just going to wait on you. I'm just going to wait on. What if the waiting room became a place of anticipation instead of anxiety? I can't wait. What if the waiting room became a place where, man, my faith, that's where your faith is strengthened. That's where it's tested. That's where it's refined. Fire refines you. And when you feel like you're going through it, when you feel like you're going through the fire, it refines you. We don't like that because it's uncomfortable. We don't like that because it tests us. Here's what I found. We like the testimony, but we don't like the test. Again, we want that end result so bad. But man, what you get in the waiting room, man, you get God Himself. You learn to hear His voice. You learn to hear His voice. You learn to know His word. Because, man, I'm reading these stories of what God has done in the history of His people. I'm learning what it means. I'm learning Jesus said this is how you pray. So I'm going to learn how to pray in this waiting season. I'm going to learn how to trust God. I'm going to learn to hear His voice. Because when I'm in the battle and everything is waging and the voice of the enemy is in your head and the voice of all the other people are in your head, that's not the time to learn God's voice. You need to know God's voice when you're in the middle of the fight, when you're in the middle. You need to know it already. And it's the waiting room where you learn His voice. It's in the waiting room where you learn His word. It's in His waiting room. Because why? When you're in the fight, oh, God, what did that Bible verse say? Oh, geez, I don't. No, it's just the waiting room. It's that place of anticipation, expectation. It's the place of knowing God on a deeper level. Resist the temptation to become impatient, because impatient leads to disobedience. Why? Because we often step outside of God and do things on our own. A couple went to the airport to catch a flight. They arrived at the gate and they were told by an agent, hey, listen, you got to wait. Got to wait to board. I need you to step aside over here. I want you to wait to board. So they made their way in the spot, you know, because you can't act a fool in the airport. You will end up in handcuffs real quick. So I said, wait over here, right over here. So they were put aside, and it was never explained why they had to wait. Everybody else got to board, but you know, they didn't know what's going on. So they start worrying and start wondering what's going on. Everybody else is boarding. Everybody else is showing their boarding pass. Everybody else is getting on, and they're doing what we do while we're waiting. Well, what is going on? We've been here a long time. Why is everybody else going to get? And so they began to get frustrated. And the more they had to wait, the more frustrated they got. They felt like they were being treated poorly with no expectation or no explanation, And now everyone was on board except them. What's going on? Some of y'all have been told somebody off. But they waited. Then finally, everybody's on. Everybody's name had been called, and they were finally told, hey, you can go ahead, you can board. So they begin to walk on, and they look at their seat assignment that was given to them then, and realize they had been upgraded from coach to first class. They were no longer upset about having to wait. See, sometimes waiting isn't all that bad. We don't know that in the middle of it. Know that in the middle of it. There's something good. There's something special. There's something important about the waiting room. When we trust God, waiting becomes a blessing. So Saul and his men learn where David is, and they pursue him, right? We're going to go get him. I'm tired of this little punk, this young guy. He thinks he wants to come in and take over. I'm going to show him what's up. And King Saul stops to go to the bathroom in the cave. Heck of a time to have to go to the bathroom. Goes in the cave. Just so happens that David is in this same cave hiding in the corner. Talk about awkward, right? In more ways than one. David's just over there waiting. And here it is. Here's his chance to end all this craziness, right? And they're over in the corner, him and his boys. And his guys are telling, hey, here's your chance, David. Let's end it, right? Let's do something about this. We're tired of running, David, right? Verses 5 in the head. Afterward, David was conscience-stricken. for I've cut off a corner of his robe. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master. Even cutting off the corner of his robe bothered him. With these words, David sharply rebuked his men, did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went on his way. See, a good opportunity is not always a God opportunity. David could have ended it, right? He could have killed Saul. He had a right to. He could have taken him captive. But how does that look, though? It looks a little sketchy, doesn't it? The next guy to be king ends up killing the current king. That don't look right. That don't look right. David chooses to honor God. And he chooses to honor the king, his mentor, his master, right? He says that multiple, like, I can never do such a thing. This is God's anointed. I can't do such a thing. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to choose to take things into my own hands. David learned to trust God by regularly seeking him. How many times throughout David's past do we know that he was praying, that he was seeking wisdom, that he was hearing God's voice, that he was being obedient? Before any of this ever happened, he's out in the field tending sheep as a shepherd boy. Wasn't even considered by his family. Saul didn't even recognize it at first to be the next king. But then in walks David, and God's like, look, I'm not looking at the outward. I'm looking at what he has done in private. Right? David knew how to wait. David knew how to trust on God. See, waiting on God doesn't mean passively doing nothing. Right? David had this life of prayer and this life of worship. And we see it played out all through the Psalms. He's writing all these different things all through the Psalms. David was actively seeking the Lord. His intimate prayers from this trying season are actually recorded in the book of Psalms. And it gives us insight to what he was thinking and feeling. It was because of David's pursuit of God's presence that he was able to sustain that promise that God had given him. To know, hey, it's just not yet. It wasn't the right time yet. God was going to make a way at the right time, and he will. And David was okay to trust that process, that he would be the next king. Psalm 59 is one song noted to have been written by David while he was being attacked by Saul. And in verse 9 of Psalm 59, David prays, O my strength, I watch for you. I watch for you, O God. You are my fortress and my loving God. See, he knew. He knew, I'm going to watch for you. I know it's not happened yet. God, I know my enemy's pursuing me, but I'm going to watch for you. I'm going to wait on you. David's prayer life was a key component to his ability to wait for God's process. David didn't want it if God wasn't in it. That needs to be our prayer. That needs to be our mindset, to be in that waiting room and be okay with waiting. Be okay with a no. Not yet. Be okay with that. The waiting room, it's special. It's something important. See, Saul was a people pleaser. He listened to the people. He listened to his men. He listened to all these other voices. He told the prophet Samuel he feared the people and he gave in to them. He became too influenced by what everyone around him was saying and wanting. He listened so much that he lost his ability to hear from God. So what do? When you come to a place where you're not sure what to do next while you're waiting, you do the next right thing. You do the next right thing. David's on the run. David's hiding out. He's been anointed king. He's going to be the king, right? Just the time is not yet. The current king is already on his way out. He's trying to kill David. But David doesn't panic. He doesn't quit on God. He doesn't quit on his calling. He doesn't take matter into his own hand. David acts with faithfulness. He acts with honor. He acts with patience. He acts with obedience. These are things that a king will need to lead. These are the things that Saul had lost. This is what a man after God's own heart looks like. And David was known as a man after God's own heart. Everything in David's life had been preparation. Many of us want to skip that part, though. Right? Why? Because it's work and we're impatient. We want to be disciples without disciplines. We love grace, but the truth hurts sometimes. We love to experience God's power, but we don't like repentance. We want answers to prayers, but we often neglect prayer altogether. Preparation is necessary for promotion. It's necessary. It's necessary. And the waiting room is that preparation. That waiting room is where I learn who God is. It's that waiting room where I trust Him even more. It's that waiting room where I understand His word. I hang on to His promises. Worship team, you guys can come up. Sometimes I know, I get it. Again, this is a struggle in those seasons. It ain't easy. We were never promised easy. Sometimes in the waiting room, in those seasons of waiting, it's hard. It's uncomfortable. And let's be honest, y'all, we like comfort. And we can easily become frustrated. In those seasons of waiting, you might find yourself just not feeling it. I'm going to try. I'm not really hearing from God. I don't really feel like worshiping. I don't really feel like praying or reading my Bible. I don't feel real spiritual. You may even want to quit. Don't quit because, man, your breakthrough might be one more prayer away. Your breakthrough might just be around the corner. You don't know what God is working in all of it. Don't give up yet because God is not done with what He is wanting to do in you and through you. Don't take things into your own hands because you don't see the answer just yet. Here's the deal. Sometimes God doesn't meet our expectations because He wants to exceed your expectations. He's wanting to go farther and beyond. You don't see the bigger picture yet. Because I see myself in the waiting room and this is, oh God, I don't want to do this anymore. There's more going on here than just David becoming king. David wasn't just about to become king for this moment, but from his royal line would come the King of Kings, would come Jesus. This was a play in a much bigger picture that God had planned because from the house of David would come the Messiah, Jesus. There's such a bigger picture going on here. How would that have played out if David would have stepped out of turn? I don't know. But you know, life is a lot like a puzzle. We put puzzles together all the time when I was a kid. I love puzzles. I love a challenge. You know, sometimes you can be putting a puzzle together, especially the bigger ones and all. Some of those are really tiny pieces, and some of them look like they go with other pieces. It's like, yeah, this might work. And you try to make it work. You're bending that puzzle piece up, trying to fit that little thumb-looking thing in the right corner, right? You're trying to make it do something that it was never created to do. Only to find out, well, man, I've put all this together and this don't look right. We do that in our lives sometimes too. Trying to make something fit that was not meant to fit. All because why? We don't want to wait. I'm impatient, God. I'm tired and frustrated. I'm tired of waiting. So I'm going to marry this person that feels right. I don't know. So, you know, I really want this car, so I'm just going to buy it. I might be upside down alone, but, you know, God, you know, you will bless it. You understand Jesus, right? I'm going to go ahead and take this job. Seems legit on paper. I'm getting, it's a good opportunity, you know. God, you're a God opportunity. And we'll pray things like that. We'll say things like, God, this is a great opportunity. God, I know you want to bless me. But it may not be for you. All because we weren't willing to wait. What are you doing in the waiting room? Again, I'm not dismissing that it's hard. We all know it's hard. God wants to help you put the pieces of your life together because He knows the bigger picture. He knows your past. He's with you right now in your present, and He holds your future. He created you. He knows better. But when we go outside of His will, we prolong what God wants to do. So we end up waiting even longer or just quitting altogether. King Saul didn't know how to wait well. And that was his downfall. Learn to wait well. Learn to wait on God. Learn to trust His plan. His ways are higher. His ways are greater. He created you. He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. Even when we don't see it working, He's working. And again, I know it's difficult. I know it can be tough, but use the waiting. Use the waiting to want God more in your life. Come on, will you stand up with me this morning? Maybe you've been waiting for something and you don't even know what it is. You don't even know what it is. So you've been wandering through life. You've been chasing this thing or that thing, and that didn't work out. And you've been left frustrated. You've been left tired. You've been left wondering and all the things. And you've kind of been going through this, like, this cycle of just rinse and repeat the same things. And nothing's fitting and nothing's working out. Maybe today is a day where that running stops. Maybe today is a day where that wondering and that wandering stops. Maybe today is a day, because you haven't been able to quite put your finger on what's missing in your life, but today, woo, today is the day where you find the answer that you've been looking for. Can I help you out a little bit? Today, that answer for you has got a name, and His name is Jesus. He is the answer. He is the one. He is what you have been waiting for. It's not a particular thing. It's not a person. It's not a particular job. You think all those things are going to better your life. But man, can I tell you, have you tried Jesus yet? Maybe you've been searching for all these things. Will you try Jesus today? Maybe you found yourself today and you're on the edge of your seat and you're tired. Waiting on something and you don't even know what it is, and I can tell you what it is. It's a relationship with Jesus. Does that mean your life will be perfect? No. We're not promised that. But what we are promised is God's presence in the waiting, God's strength in the waiting. What we are promised is that God will be right there with us every step of the way, holding us up, lifting us up. When we fall, He's there. He's not there to look over you and judge you and tell you all the things you done messed up and did wrong and how terrible you are. He's there to just lift up His hand and help you do better. Maybe today for you is the day where the running stops, the wondering stops. You have an encounter with Jesus. Maybe you're in this place today. Maybe you find yourself in the waiting room. Maybe you're there today and you're waiting on an answer. You're on the edge of your seat today. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you're worried. Maybe it's developed more doubts than it has anything else. You're wanting to trust God. You're wanting to pray this thing through, but maybe you find yourself today, you're just tired and you're weary. Just let God come into that waiting room today. He's knocking on that door. He's inviting us into His presence. He invites us into His rest. His word said, Jesus Himself said, "Come all who are weary, and I will give you rest."